Once again, good morning to everybody up in the satellite service. Glad you could be with us. And Gary, how are you doing?
Good, thank you.
What is it that you would like to share with us?
Well, I'll keep it short.
Okay.
I've got much to share in here. And I come from the Bible to places that it's true.
Okay. Just before you start, so Gary used to attend here at Still Heights many years ago. And good old McLeod Community League member.
I was for a while.
Yeah, and he's come back to Still Heights. But this, we haven't talked about this.
No.
Okay, so this is, yeah. Okay, so go ahead, and I might have to cut you off because of time, not because I don't care about you.
I'm a prayer warrior.
Okay.
Praying for God.
Hold on, let me get you a microphone. Okay, here we go. All right.
So I'm a prayer warrior. I speak in tongues, no interpretation in tongues, but do not say by tongues. And so I spent 5 years early morning prayer with Ingrid, my prayer partner. I got up at 3:15 every morning. Went a little later on the weekends and Christmas and New Year's and Easter. And I hear his tiny whisper of his voice. So that's all. If the Father wants to speak to you now, I know he's here with Jesus and Michael the Archangel. If he wants to speak to you, he can. And if not, I'll phone you in a couple of weeks. Or I'll phone you sooner.
Yeah, let's have some coffee.
In advance, okay?
Yeah, that would be good.
All right.
Gary, thank you.
I'm going to share one thing.
Okay, but remember the 5 B's of effective sharing. Be brief, brother, be brief.
Okay. Smallest chapter is 117. Longest chapter is 119. And the middle chapter is 118. There's 594 chapters before 118 and 594 chapters before 118. They add up to Psalm, but they add up to 1188. The center of the Bible is Psalm 118:8.
Yes, I remember
it's
hearing this.
Better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man.
Say that last part one more time.
Trust in the Lord rather than to trust in man.
Amen.
Yeah.
Thank you, Gary.
And another part in Matthew tells you the same thing, but generally the Bible is.
Amen. Okay, thank you. Well, I think back to when I first came to Still Heights as a young man, 1984. Gary was here at that time, I think, or soon after. And, of course, came to Christ and started growing in the Lord, got baptized here in that tank, and went away for a number of years as a forester. The Lord called our family back here to serve as a pastor, and it's been 15 years now, just over 15 years, actually. And, you know, the kingdom of God is a beautiful thing. I think we've seen many expressions even here this morning about how special Jesus' kingdom is. And there's a special nature, an automatic nature to Jesus' kingdom. And it grows. There's within the kingdom of God, God has designed it so it grows because he is the one who is the source of the kingdom. And Jesus talks about this in Mark 4, verses 26 through 29. And he said this, "This is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain. First the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it because the harvest has come." The kingdom of God is about growth. And over the 15 years that I've been here, I've seen amazing growth in people's lives. And it's been such a privilege to walk with many people, even just some of the people that were baptized this morning, and to see God working in their lives. That's the legacy of Still Heights, changed lives for Jesus, disciples made for Christ. But over the last several years, 3 or 4, we've really experienced a lot more numerical growth. We have a pretty full sanctuary this morning up in the satellite service. We have a service going on up there. Our children's ministry and Power Up, where they're just bursting at the seams. And we want to continue to grow because that's what the kingdom of God is about. We want to make more room for more people to come, people who know Christ and people who don't know Christ, so that they may find Christ, and that together we may make disciples, as Viator shared from his Bible passage, Matthew 28, that there's a call on us to make disciples and to baptize them in the name of Jesus Christ. So as the elders and the staff have been considering this, and we talked about this growing pains that we're having last May at our AGM, our annual general meeting, vision night. And then this past fall, I started sharing a bit about, you know what, we might need to do a second sanctuary service, discontinue the satellite service, and then split this worship time in the sanctuary to 9 and 11 a.m. And the primary reason for that was because we need to give more room for our power-up ministries so that our teachers are not just doing crowd control downstairs. When I went down, you know, just after the baptism, like, it was game on. There was kids all over the place. It was beautiful. But our teachers want to disciple our children. And if they're just doing crowd control because there's 25 kids squeezed into a classroom, that's not an effective way to disciple our children. And plus, we're getting fuller and fuller here on Sunday mornings. And so as the elders and the staff have been talking about this, we really feel it seemed right to us in the Holy Spirit. And as we've talked to you, the congregation, as we had our Super Saturday event back in November, and we had good dialogue for the over the 100 people that came out to that event, we sent out a document to you from the office talking about the why we need to do this. And so we really feel that this spring on Palm Sunday, we need to initiate a second sanctuary service. So that means that we're all going to have some changes. And, you know, when you bring a new baby home, everybody in the family feels the changes. But what a joy to see that child grow. And so this new service is going to be kind of like a baby here at Still Heights. And we're all going to have to make some adjustments. Some of the big adjustments will be the satellite service. We'll finish up their time up in the gym. And we'll fold it into two sanctuary services here on Sunday morning at 9 and 11. Power Up, we'll have children's ministries going in both for both services. For those of you who are serving on Sunday mornings, we will be talking to you. We will be phoning every volunteer who has a service position here at Still Heights on Sunday morning here. We'll be talking to you, either a ministry leader or one of the pastors, to talk about which service you'll be serving in and or you'd like to serve in. And then also encouraging more people to be serving on Sunday mornings. For those of you who don't have children, encourage you to serve one, worship one. And I think as we move into this new era at Still Heights, I think it's going to be a very exciting time. And I think it gives us more options too, coming at 9 for worship or coming at 11. And we're going to work through this together. And I think that God's kingdom will grow. And so you will be hearing more. You might get, even this week, you might get a questionnaire from the office just asking, which service do you see your preference being, the 9 a.m. service or the 11 a.m. service? Of course, you're not locked into one service. You can come to the 9 if it fits your schedule better. Or go if you slept in, you can go to the 11 o'clock service. I think it's going to be a real special time, and I'm very excited just to see God's kingdom continuing to grow and more people coming to worship Christ here at Still Heights. I really believe that God is moving in us and taking us to a new place, Still Heights, where we're not just a community-based church, and we've impacted our community through things like Family Day and many other ways that we've reached out into our community. And people know about Still Heights, and I think that God has given us favor in many ways, but I believe that God is just going to continue to grow us, and we're going to have a more regional influence in the city of Edmonton as we continue to grow, as we continue to be on mission. And when we leave this place, we're out talking to people about the hope of the gospel. And of course, in our internationally, we're going to continue to bring the gospel to the nations. And as God brings the nations here, we'll continue to share the gospel with new Canadians as well. So let's be praying together. trusting God that he is going to work this out for his glory. All right, well, you're going to be hearing more in weeks to come, but Palm Sunday, let's be in prayer for Palm Sunday. That'll be our first service, 9 and 11 a.m. service. Well, at the beginning of the new year, I introduced a new sermon series called The Life God Blesses. In our first message, we looked at the life God blesses belongs to a person who's wholeheartedly devoted to the Lord. And then last week, we looked at how the life that God blesses belongs to a person who listens and obeys. And today, we are going to look at how God blesses those who imitate his son, Jesus. So let's pray. Father, it's been a full service. And now, God, I pray that you would just still our hearts. Lord, help us not to look at our watches. Help us just to be at peace with you right now in this place at this time. And may your word speak to us, God. Oh, Lord, we need you. We need you, Lord, we need you. And so would you speak to us, living God, from your word. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as a kid, I really looked up to my older brother, Rick. There he is on the right. The three amigos, Randy, Darren, and Rick. And he is 3 years older than I am. And when we were growing up, we spent a lot of time together. And like many younger siblings do, I imitated my brother. Yeah, we were on audition there for a tryout for the Bay City Rollers rock band from the 1970s. Rick had a paper route. So when I was old enough, I wanted to take over his paper route. Rick played all kinds of sports, so I was right there trying to keep up with him and his older friends. We would play street hockey in the winter, and as soon as the fields dried up in the spring, we'd be out playing football and till the frost came in the fall, and then we'd be out playing street hockey again. Well, Rick played poker with his friends, so there I was, wanting to get in on the action. I had a paper route. Let me at the card table. And then Rick got a job at Londonderry Hotel, and as soon as I was old enough to work there, he talked to his boss, and he got me a job at Londonderry Hotel, and I gave my paper out to my younger brother, Randy. And it was nice having an older brother. Still is. And I felt safe around him. I felt accepted by him. I knew he had my back when I got into trouble. I was blessed to have such a good role model as Rick growing up in those early years, those wonder years, someone I wanted to imitate. There's a picture of us in his backyard. Funny thing is, the shortest guy became the tallest. The tallest guy became the shortest, and I'm still in the middle. Well, for better or worse, we've all imitated people, haven't we? And the Apostle Paul recognized the power of imitation and used it in his teaching. And in Ephesians 5:1, the Apostle Paul wrote, "Be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children," that we are to be imitators of our Heavenly Father and, as we'll see, his Son, Jesus Christ. So how did Paul think it was possible for us to imitate the infinite and holy God? For we are just finite beings. We're plagued by sin, by weakness. God is the creator of the whole universe. He knows all things. He's present everywhere at the same time. He's all powerful. It seems like a very tall order by Paul to ask us frail people to imitate God. But the command still stands prominently in the Bible. Peter, another one of the apostles of Christ, said, "Be holy." He's quoting from the Old Testament, and it's God speaking, "Be holy, for I am holy." This is God's word to us. "Be holy, for I am holy." Well, thankfully, the Apostle Paul gives us a clue as to how we are to imitate God. While writing to the churches at Corinth and Philippi, he said, "Be imitators of me as I imitate Christ. Be imitators of me as I imitate Christ. And if you do this, there will be this beautiful peace upon your lives, because you will be putting into practice the teachings of the gospel, the teachings of Christ. Paul said in Romans 8:29 that we are to be transformed back into the image of God. As many of us know, sin has distorted and maligned the image of God in us that God originally created within Adam and Eve, that we still have in our lives, the imago Dei, this image of God. He's placed it in all humanity. But after Adam and Eve rebelled in the garden, that image was marred. But the good news is that when we surrender our lives fully to Christ and his gospel, he restores. He begins to transform. We're the clay in his hands, and he starts to form us, and he reform us and heal us and bring restoration into our lives. And as he purifies us, and he, as the old saying goes, as the goldsmith is purifying the gold and drawing off the dross seven times until he can see his own image in the refined gold, God is transforming. He's refining us into the image of Jesus, so that we can be God's holy people, his merciful people, whom he foreknew. God knows all things, and he foreknew, he predestined to us to be conformed into the likeness of his Son, it says in Romans 8:29. That Jesus might be the firstborn among many brothers. Jesus is our big brother. He's our spiritual big brother. He is the firstborn over God's household. He is the one we are called to imitate. And how are we to emulate Christ? Paul gives the answer in Ephesians 5:2. Live a life of love, just as Christ loved us just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering, a sacrifice to God. And what does a life of love look like? Well, we find the answer in Ephesians 4:2-9. So we have Ephesians 5:1-2. And just before that, is it 29? Yeah, I think it's 29. Might be 32. I'm sorry. I had a lot going on here. Let me just look. Now I'm doubting myself here a little bit. I'm sorry. Let me just look here. And Ephesians 4:32. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ and God forgave you. My apologies. God demonstrated his mercy and compassion to us through the loving and sacrificial love of our big brother, Jesus. Our Heavenly Father, his desire is to create this family. God wants us to be the family, and he is the Heavenly Father, and that we're unified and that we're loving one another, that we're showing mercy and kindness to one another, and we're to imitate Jesus and sacrificially love one another just as Jesus has sacrificially loved us. We are to be God's generous people, generously loving one another, extending mercy and kindness. Oh, how this world needs more kindness in it as we spend time on internet and replies to blogs, and we just see the venom and the hatred that people have inside of them that they feel like they need to vent on the internet. And it's symptomatic of a greater problem of selfishness, innate selfishness. And in order to be merciful and kindness and to be Christ-like, we need to die to self and to truly be willing to put another's needs before our own. The Lord Jesus, who is also our big brother, has guaranteed our adoption into God's family by sending the Holy Spirit to reside within us. So when we became new believers in Christ. We became born again. The Holy Spirit came into our lives and he empowers us to live this Christian life. We read about this in Romans 8, 15 through 17. Paul, writing to the church at Rome, says, "For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship, of inheritance. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are his children, we are heirs," and get this, "heirs of God and co-heirs," there's our big brother again, "we're co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory." Folks, in this life, we will have troubles. We will have trials. We will have sufferings, but they can help identify us with Christ. And we're not just kind of survivors limping through life. No, God has made us more than conquerors through the Holy Spirit who resides within us, who gives us the power to overcome the circumstances of life, as difficult and as taxing as they may be. They do not define us completely. We are defined by the one whom we follow, the one we're trying to imitate, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is right there, just as Ben shared in his testimony. He's there carrying us through the difficult times, if necessary. But he is there closer than a brother. He loves us. And he is there to be with us. He is with us through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. We are not orphans abandoned in a cruel world. No, we are heirs of Christ and co-heirs of the Father. Oh, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for us in this inheritance that we received when we became new followers of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is in us. He has sealed us until the day of redemption. That seal is not so much a seal to contain him in us, but a seal, a guarantee showing that we are co-heirs with Christ. So when we follow Jesus, he calls us to take up our cross, just as he did, and to walk with him daily and dying to self and extending mercy and grace to others, even when they're not deserving of mercy and grace. We certainly weren't when Christ died on the cross for us, but in his love, he lavished his love upon us through his death on the cross, that he loved us and did not forget about us or abandon us. He has generously shown kindness and compassion to us. Our Savior is a merciful God. He is so merciful. And it says in Matthew 5, 7, "Blessed are the merciful." Blessed are the merciful. For they will, what? Be shown mercy. When we show mercy, God shows mercy to us. There's something about being merciful. It's cathartic for us when we show kindness to another. And it's contagious and it's healing for others when we express genuine kindness and mercy to someone else and they receive that. And sometimes they're just dumbfounded. They're going, "Well, why? Why are you being so kind to me? There must be a catch." No. No, the Lord put it on my heart to do this for you, or to give this to you, or to share this word with you. And God works through our mercy, and he works through our kindness. And we need to be the recipients as well of people expressing mercy and kindness to us. We don't, I'm good. I'm dying inside, but no, I couldn't. Oh, no, I couldn't receive any help from you. No. No, just humble yourself and receive the blessing as well from God. When we harbor unforgiveness and pettiness and resentment to others, it negatively affects us. It impacts us negatively when we're just petty. when we're just so caught up with little things that are not important in the big picture. In Matthew 6:15, Jesus said, "But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." If you've really received Christ into your life and know what he's done for you and what he has forgiven in you, we need to be able to reciprocate that. We need to be able to say, "Oh, here I am, sinner saved by the grace of God. He's forgiven me so much. I deserved hell. And now this person here has done something to me. I need to find God's grace and to forgive them." And I realize that some horrendous things are done to people by other human beings. But when we can learn to forgive, then it releases us from that. And it's cathartic. The Spirit of God works. It shakes us up and the healing can start in our lives. Some of you may be thinking, what about justice? If we forgive, won't we be kind of wimpy, run over by hostility and our naivety? But this is the reason that kindness and compassion are necessary. Sin breeds sin. Violence begets violence. We see that all over the world. But oh, when someone loves another human being in little ways and big ways, that is something that the world takes note of. In fact, the wimpy or the weak ones are actually the ones who cannot forgive. People who have experienced the grace of Christ forgive and realize that vengeance and justice belong to the Lord. Part of showing mercy and kindness is speaking the truth in love, but then trusting God to be the judge. It's not our job to be the judge. Then justice and even vengeance will come in God's time. The cost of people's sins will be assessed. Restitution will be made. Prevention will be legislated by God in his time. As we continue to speak the truth in love, speaking it to the individual and speaking it out in the public square, but it's done in love, not in bitterness and resentment and angriness and judgmentalism, self-righteousness. Nobody's listening to that tune. Nobody. In many ways, to be merciful is to be just. One of the greatest expressions of mercy is found in the story of the woman caught in adultery in John 8. This posse has dragged this poor woman to Jesus and they want to stone her as stipulated in the law of Moses for adultery. And Jesus said to them, "He who is perfect, cast the first stone. Go right ahead." And one by one, the woman's accusers drop their stones and they turn away because they know they're not perfect either. They stand condemned by God for their sins. And then Jesus tenderly asks the woman, "Where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No one, sir," she said. What a beautiful picture. "Then neither do I condemn you," Jesus declared. "Go now. And leave your life of sin. Go and sin no more. Leave this adulterous sin behind. And walk on the path of life." You know, I met someone past week for coffee. And this individual called me up and wanted to meet with me. And find out how he could serve the congregation of SHBC. And show mercy and kindness to people in our church who need financial help or companionship. Well, there's some good kingdom timing. And that's a great example of what it means to be a person after God's own heart, that kindness and compassion are practical derivatives or fruits of the greater virtue of love. Kindness and compassion flow out of the virtue of love. It's practical. Love does. Love is active. This is the kind of life, this is the kind of love that God blesses. Folks, Christ imitated his Father. As you read through the book of John, it's just, you can see how he just depended every moment on the leading of the Spirit that kept him in communion with his Heavenly Father, and he would only do what the Father desired. He was imitating his Father. The Bible tells us that Christ is the exact representation of the Father, only he is in human form. What a beautiful thing that our God loves us so much that he condescended. He came down from heaven and he took on flesh and blood. And our Savior is the God-man. He is fully God, the Son of God. He is fully human, but without sin. So Christ said to Philip, when Philip was saying, "Hey, Jesus, just show us the Father and that's good enough." And he said, "Philip, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father, because I'm imitating the Father. So imitate my life." And Jesus has revealed himself to us through the Bible. That's how we see him today. We see him in each other and changed lives. We experience him in our life through answered prayer, but we experience him the best in the Gospels and the teachings of the New Testament, and even in the prophets and the teachings of Moses and the Psalms. God has revealed himself to us through the Word. It's his revelation to us so that we may know him and we may serve him and that we may become conformed, transformed into his beautiful, beautiful image. To imitate Christ means more than just this half-heartedness mimicking or some type of robotic adherence to religious protocol. That's not what the kingdom of God is about. It's about this beautiful, life-giving relationship with the Lord of the universe, who has revealed himself to us and who has filled us with the Holy Spirit. And it is this daily communion with God. And as we commune with him, he is speaking to us and he is helping conform us and transforming us into his beautiful image. The silversmith, the goldsmith, the hands of the potter, shaping us and refining us into the beautiful image of God, so that we can imitate Christ in this dark and lost world, so they can see our lives. And they can see the way we love one another. And they go, "Oh, those must be the disciples and the followers of Jesus. Look at how they love one another. Look at how they are serving this world graciously." The life that God blesses belongs to the believer who earnestly imitates Jesus by living a life of love. The life that God blesses belongs to the person who earnestly imitates Jesus by living a life of love that's generously expressed by showing kindness and compassion to others. Let's pray. Oh, Father in heaven, thank you for all that's taken place today here at Still Heights. God, thank you for your kingdom that is growing. Lord, we need you. We need you in our personal lives. We need you in our families. We need you in our work, in our schools. Oh, Lord, we need you in our church family here at Still Heights. So, God, we pray that you would do your work in us. Oh, Lord, you have a plan and a purpose for each of us. God, make us holy. Separate us, Lord, from this world, God, so that we may live for you. Oh, Lord, help us to imitate you this week. And, Lord, for all the days of our lives, continue to grow us, God, for your glory. Amen.
Would you stand and join us as we close with, "Oh, God, you are such a good, good Father, and you ask us to imitate that love that you showed us." Thank you.
Sense God's Spirit here today as we've worshiped our Savior. You know, I just want to thank Gary for having the courage to come up here, because I really believe that was the Spirit's prompting, Gary, because it gave me a chance to practice what I preach. You know, quite frankly, I had all these things going on and I'm ready to do this big announcement. My brother comes up and he has a word, and I could have just like, go sit down. No, God called me to express kindness and mercy, just to let Gary say what was on his heart today. So may that be just an example in our church of where God is taking us. We could do this together. And may the Lord bless you and keep you and cause his face to shine upon you. Extend you his peace and his grace and his power this week. Go in Jesus' name and shine for him. Amen.